No, I'm glad to be here. Last Sunday, I got the privilege to go to Maple Root and fill in for Bill over there. So that was a blessing to help another brother, another church here in our local area. Let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at the triumphal entry today. Did anybody have a birthday today? Snuck up on us without telling us? You wouldn't tell me if it was. I know that. You know, the birthdays, they just keep coming. We have these celebrations and, you know, anniversaries, and they just keep coming. And we keep celebrating them, right? We said, well, I celebrated that once, so that's enough, right? But, you know, we keep celebrating because we like to. And Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday and Christmas, these are some celebrations in the church that we keep celebrating every year. And you say, why do we keep talking about that? You know, we talked about that already. Excuse me, but it's important. And Palm Sunday is an important celebration that we are going to look at today. It's so important that it was in all four of the Gospels. Every single one of them talked about this entry into Jerusalem of Jesus, this triumphal entry where Jesus came into the city. It began the last week before the cross. We call it the Passion Week. And Jesus entered the city. Why did he enter that way? What was going on? What was happening? What did the people think when they saw him coming into town like that? What did the people want is the big question in my mind. And what did they need? That's what we're going to talk about today. Because, you know, there's a difference, isn't there, between what we want and what we need. There's a song, I'm going to have Chris play that for us now. It's called First Things First, and then we'll get into this message.
All the things that I've held dear, the vanities that whispered in my ear, what would I do if they all disappeared? Riches and fame and all that they could buy, I've come to find they never satisfy. What would I gain if my soul's a prize? I don't want to love what the world loves. I don't want to chase what the world does. I only want you. All I wanna see. Keep the
First thing first. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. That's the title of my message, First Things First. We see in the book of Luke that the king is coming. The king is arriving.
Anyone can use to improve their hearing almost overnight.
What's he saying? Luke chapter 19, let's pick it up in verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them the Lord needs it." Jesus is going, he's going up to Jerusalem, and it's interesting. They always say about Jerusalem, you're going up to Jerusalem. It was on top of a hill, and Jerusalem has a bunch of hills, but the temple area, the Temple Mount, is like this hill that they would go up to. And this is a kind of a picture looking down from the Temple Mount. And so this area up here is the Mount of Olives, and these are olive trees in here and that, and you can see the buses here because, right now there are not a lot of buses there, but typically there would be a lot of buses traveling with tourists to visit the area. But up here is the Mount of Olives, and so Jesus would often go up onto the Mount of Olives in Bethany and stay the night up there, and then he would come down this hill and then up this hill to where the picture is taken from, to the Temple Mount, and in between is called the Kidron Valley. This Mount of Olives is important in a lot of ways. It's where Jesus ascended into heaven, the Mount of Olives. And it's also where Zechariah tells us the Mount of Olives is where Jesus will return to the earth when he comes and physically returns to the earth. Verse 30 and 31... We see that this passage, he's talking about this fulfillment of another passage in the book of Zechariah. Again, what was prophesied so many years, 450 to 500 years previously, it was prophesied in the book of Zechariah that Jesus would come. Your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is something that Jesus was prophesied to fulfill. And Jesus would come, this donkey that no one had ever ridden, that Jesus would be the only one. Look at verse 32. Those who were sent ahead, they went and found it just as he had told them. I like that. It's always just as Jesus says. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And it, a valid question, "What are you doing with my donkey?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." And they brought it to Jesus. And they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. John tells us as well that they spread out palm branches. That's why we call it Palm Sunday, because one of the things they spread out were their cloaks, but they also spread out these palm branches. That's an interesting picture. We're going to finish with that picture at the end here in the book of Revelation. But it's interesting. I like also what it says there in verse 35. It says they brought it to Jesus. What did they bring to Jesus? They brought the colt that they found, and they also brought their cloaks. They brought everything that they had. They were being obedient to what Jesus said, and then they brought it to him. They brought it to him. I'm pausing there because I think that's what you and I, we need to stop and say, what do I have? What can I bring to Jesus and give to him? Maybe it's something he's already told us to do, and we have to say, "What is it you've told me to do?" Well, I need to do that and then bring it to him. Bring it to him. There's this relationship with Jesus that you and I think we don't understand. It's a relationship where we come to him and we give him everything we have. Why? Because he's given us everything that we have. Everything that you have, that I have, He has given to me. Give it back. Verse 37, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, they began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. And note this, for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Quoting again one of the Psalms, Psalm 118. He came down. He's going down the Mount of Olives so that he can come up to the Mount of the Temple. And the people are crying out these words. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. The other Gospels tell us they were also saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which literally means save, or save us now. It would later become an exclamation of praise. We use that word in worship songs, and they were praising and they were exclaiming this about this one that was coming. But as you dig a little bit deeper and as you look at what's really going on here, yeah, they were worshiping, they were calling out to him and quoting the scriptures, but they wanted something very different. They were expecting him to do what? When they said, save us, what were they talking about? Rome. They were expecting Jesus to come and set them free from the tyranny, from this Roman Empire that had its grip all over them. And they wanted him to do it now. They're saying, save us now. This is what they wanted. But what they needed was something very different. Now, Jesus wasn't going to let them dictate to him, and he doesn't let us dictate to him as well what it is that he wants to do, right? Well, Jesus, this is what I want you to do, so you must do it. You read about some of the name it and claim it kind of, mantra and Christianity where if I say it, you got to do it, God. If I confess these words, you got to do it. Well, that's just ridiculous, first. Now, that doesn't mean we don't ask. James says, ask, you don't have because you don't ask. But then he goes on to say, but sometimes you do ask and you don't get it. Why? Because you've done it for your own selfish desires, what you want. There's a big difference between what they wanted and what they needed. And I want to say to you and me today, well, what's the application for you and I? Well, that was then, and this is now. What we want and what we need are not always the same thing. But you see, God knows the difference. But sometimes you think about your prayers. What are your prayers like? What are my prayers like? It's like, well, God, I need this and I want this. And we say I need, but we really say I want. What it means is I want. Give us everything. Give me everything that I want. It's interesting, isn't it? What do we want? Well, here in America, we're kind of told what we want, right? You know what I mean by that? We're dictated to by the world what it is. This is what you really want. They'll say this is what you really need. Well, you don't really need that particular thing. So they're playing on our emotions and the fact that we're human and we have this battle going on, but we're told what to want by the world. Well, what do you want? What do we want? We want peace with the world. We want peace with ourselves. We want the money. We want the recognition. We want all this temporal stuff. All the stuff that's right here, right now. That's what I want. That's what I really need. We're coming up to this big election, and it is a big election. And I don't talk about politics a lot, but you know what? What I see a lot right now from both sides, I'm not going to tell you which side I'm on. You can ask me, I'll tell you personally. But from both sides is we want a political savior. We want someone to save us. We want someone to save our nation, to save our country, save us from this mess that we're in. Wasn't that what was going on back then, Jerusalem? We want you, Jesus, to set us free from the tyranny, from the mess that we are in right now. We want you politically to come and do everything that we want you to do right now. This is what we, quote unquote, need. Now, these are not bad things, and I encourage us all to vote. We need to vote and do what we need to do in this country. But what do we really need? I think the truth of that isn't found in the world. The truth, and we saw it in songs that we sang today, Give Me Jesus. We saw it in this song, First Things First. The truth's found in God's Word. What we really need is peace with God. What we really need is a spiritual Savior. It's that is always true. That will never change. No matter how good it's going in our society, in our world, no matter what's happening, it's always the same, that we need Jesus. He's the Savior. We get our eyes on so many things. Look at verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it. Jesus weeping. And this is what he said. Verse 42. "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. If you had only known. But now it's hidden from your eyes. And the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you." If you only knew, he wept. Why? Because they were so off base. They didn't have a clue. They didn't realize. They didn't understand that what the real mess was in the human heart. Yeah, the world around them was not the way they wanted it or whatever, but the real problem was within. So often our prayers, I want this to be changed. I want this to be fixed. I want that. I want this. But God says, this is what you really need. You need my Holy Spirit within you to give you the peace to deal with all this stuff that's going on. It says there that the enemies, they would build this embankment. They would encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You didn't recognize. You had this other plan. You had this other thing. And sure enough, the Romans, who they wanted to be delivered from, they destroyed Jerusalem. Not too many years later, they destroyed the temple. Not one stone was left upon another. You go to Jerusalem now, there's no temple there. And what we call the Western Wall is basically part of the foundation. That's all that's left. Part of this retaining wall is really what it is. That's all that's there. And that's the closest thing to what would have been the temple. You didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. They didn't recognize who he was and what he came to do. You see, they wanted salvation from Rome, but what they needed was salvation from sin, right? That's what they really needed. They wanted peace. They wanted temporal peace, but what they really needed was peace with God. And what they wanted Jesus to do, you see, if he had just come and done that and that's all he ever did, you and I would not be here today. If he just came and brought peace and threw Rome off of them, you and I would still have a hopeless eternity, as they would have a hopeless life, ultimately. GodQuestions.org says this, the crowds looked for a Messiah who would rescue them politically and free them nationally. But Jesus had come to serve them, to save them spiritually. First things first. And mankind's primary need is spiritual, not political, cultural, or national salvation. That's the first need that you and I have. Now, I understand there's a battle that we face, and we have the flesh warring against the spirit. There's always this battle that's taking place. Well, Jesus was fully God and he was fully man as well, though he was completely without sin. But Jesus as well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he pray? He says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. What he had to face in this life, if there was any other way. And what did God say? What did the Father say? There is no other way. There's no other way. The cross is the only way. But he said those words that I think you and I would do well to listen and to repeat. Not my will, not what I want, but what you want. Because truth is, he knows what we need. He knows what's best in our lives. We need to re-examine again our prayers. What's my prayer? What am I really praying for? What am I really praying about? Again, as I said, if Jesus had saved them temporarily, what good would it have been? Or did he save them for all eternity? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If he gives you everything you want, and yet you end up eternally separated from God and people in this world, you know, in the place that we call hell. Because we got everything we wanted. Interesting, isn't it, when you read the whole account and kind of what happens after this, when this crowd, they're out there, you know, crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who coming in the name of the Lord, this one. The Messiah, the King, he's coming. But it was only a few days following when he didn't do what they wanted him to do. What were they crying out then? Crucify him, crucify him. But when you think about it, it's ironic. So many of the things, and when you think about, you know, the situation and who we are, and then what God's word explains and helps us to understand, they're shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. But you know what? That's actually what they needed. That's actually what you and I needed, was the cross. Because without the cross, we have no hope whatsoever. No hope whatsoever. Again, we're celebrating Palm Sunday. We're celebrating Good Friday. We're celebrating the resurrection. Why? Jesus brings us peace. If you only knew what would bring you peace, if you only would recognize who he is and what he has done. We're so consumed, and again, it's part of this body that we live in. We're so consumed with the here and now. What do I want? Well, I want salvation from my trials. I want salvation from my bills. I want salvation from my depression, from my loneliness, from this, my fears. I want salvation from all these things. Now, it's not wrong to pray about those things, but again, to pray, like, what do I really need? I need God's Spirit working in my heart and in my life. That's what I really need. Some of those things, you know what, I'm 45 now, and I understand that you pray about a lot of those things, and many times they don't change. They don't change. But what I have discovered is that God works in my life, and he changes me, and he changes you, to be able to deal with it. Because some of the stuff will not change until He comes to change it, literally, physically. Or we go to be with Him and face to face, we see Him. There's a lot of stuff we got to put up in this world, in this life. If it's the name it and claim it, and everything's going to be good because you said this, you prayed this, you wanted this, and God just has to do it all because He's bound. There's going to be a lot of disappointment in your life, in my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't pray, because God says you pray. And if you trust Him, He will hear you. He will answer you. But He doesn't necessarily answer you in the way that you want or in the time that you want. Are you tracking with me? What we want, what we need, what they wanted, what they needed. What you and I need was what Jesus came to bring us, that peace that comes through the cross and through the resurrection. This King, He came and He gave His life, and He came to save us. And this is what we see in heaven. I want you to turn, we're going to close there. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. That's the last book of the Bible, in case you're wondering. Revelation chapter 7. And we're going to look in verse 9. Excuse me. And after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. Palm branches. We saw Palm Sunday, they spread them out on the ground, but now they have them in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation!" They were shouting out, "Hosanna! Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders of the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen," He says. They say. That's incredible, isn't it? You see the palm branches. They spread the palm branches out. The King's here. He's going to do exactly what we want. He doesn't do what we want. But He did what they needed. And now you see people gathered around the throne of God, and they're worshiping. Why? Because of the salvation that He came, that He gave, the Lamb sitting on the throne. They fell down on their faces before the throne. They worshiped. Boy, we get so consumed. I know I'm speaking personally. We get so consumed by all the stuff going around. We're not even really worshiping anymore. We're anxious. We're down. We're our minds are going a lot of different directions. But these people, they say this is what it's all about. That the Lamb came. He gave His life. He gave peace. He brought peace. Peace with God, the peace of God. Eternal salvation, eternal life. And what do? They're falling on their faces in true worship before the throne of God. That's where you and I should be, even in this life. We're not going to see it all. I know that. We see as through a glass darkly. We kind of see a dim image of the reality of it all. But then we'll see face to face, Paul tells us. But we'd still see some. And I think for us to be on our faces and worshiping before the throne of God and crying out like Jesus did when He was on the ground, "Not my will, but your will be done." That's where it all leads in the end. That's where it's all going to finish up, face to face, on our faces before the Almighty God. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, but more than that, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son into this world, not just to be a political Messiah, a national Messiah, but you would save us to be an eternal spiritual Messiah, the Savior of the world, who came to seek and to save those who were lost. How? By the cross. By the cross. We celebrate the fact that, Jesus, you came, and you knew why you came. Any question in your mind why we were coming to the earth, and despite what the people wanted, despite what we want, you have a plan and a purpose, and we surrender to it, we submit to it. We submit to you. It's not a bad word to submit. It's a good word to submit to you, to fall on our faces, to be on our knees and saying, whatever you want, have your way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and make us after your will. That's what we want, Lord. Help us, Lord. We're just human. We face so much in this life, but help us, God. Help us. Please help us, Lord. I know that each one in this room has got different trials, different troubles, and maybe we'd like to be free from some of them, from all of them, but you're working. You have a plan and you have a purpose. I pray that you'd work in us and change us and make us more like your Son Jesus, working in us to be who you want us to be. And we give it all back to you anyways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?